So the Pakistani government agreed early this morning to reinstate the former Chief Justice of the Supreme Court. It's a stunning concession, an example of brinkmanship going on between Nawaz Sharif, who's the opposition leader who was heading toward the capital in a convoy threatening to stage a mass protest, and the government and military in Pakistan, who appear very much threatened by this domestic unrest. Ben Arnoldi, South Asia Bureau Chief for the Christian Science Monitor, joins us from Islamabad. Ben, good morning.
Good morning.
Now, we already have seen that this dispute over the between the judiciary and the government in Pakistan brought down Pervez Musharraf. It appears as though a similar set of issues has produced a constitutional crisis in Pakistan one more time. First of all, what is the implication likely to be of Mr. Chaudhry now being reinstated at the Supreme Court?
Well, Pakistan has always suffered from rulers who try to grab too much power, whether they're military rulers like General Pervez Musharraf or the civilian ruler, the current man, Zardari. And the reason why this is so important to Pakistanis is for once there's finally some check on that person's power, that if you have an independent judiciary, they can curb some of the decisions that are made by the rulers. And so there's hope that this particular decision might go some direction towards fixing this constitutional crisis.
Is there any explicit sense that Chaudhry plans immediately to embark on a series of decisions or legal opinions that might curtail the power of President Zardari or the Chief of Staff of the Army, General Ashfaq Parvez Kiani?
That's unknown, but he obviously was deposed under Pervez Musharraf because he was making decisions and looking into cases that were threatening to the government. And one of the reasons why President Zardari has been not interested in restoring the Chief Justice is that there are cases pending against him that he worries might be reopened. And so that's a possibility, but we just have to wait and see.
You know, one analyst we spoke with last week suggested that President Zardari has really mishandled the domestic agenda here by focusing on Afghanistan, the incoming Obama administration, and the crisis over the attacks in Mumbai in India last November to the exclusion of domestic politics, and that he's suffering for it right now. Do you believe that?
I'm shocked how unpopular he is here. I mean, there are many people who have voted for the current ruling People's Party, mostly because they really admired Benazir Bhutto, who was assassinated. Now, even those voters, I talked to many who say, I just really do not like Zardari, and are now more interested in voting for his opponent, Nawaz Sharif. And there's a general perception on the street here that America will just support a Pakistani ruler who's easy to manipulate, not who is popular with the people. And so one of the things that I heard a lot in the celebrations today is that ordinary Pakistanis think that this people power movement might result in their leaders listening more to them than to Washington. Now, analysts I talked to are sort of skeptical about that, but that's at least the hope among ordinary Pakistanis.
When you say people power, what is it that people want? I mean, for example, when you say people want change, that can be vague in countries from El Salvador to the U.S. So how would you sum up the needs of the Pakistani people when they think of what they need from government?
This is going to sound kind of like a strange civics lesson in terminology, but they want things like balance of powers and checks and balances. I mean, things that, like, James Madison talked about in the founding of our country, and they really do say those things. I watched a group of young men last night. It was 3 a.m. They were up at the Chief Justice's house, and they were gathered, and they were jumping up and down, chanting, "Rule of law, rule of law." And I just thought, wow, you know, I would never see that kind of scene in the United States, but there's an understanding here that really the foundation for democracy isn't just having an election every now and then. It's having institutions that can put checks on rulers who don't listen to people. And that's really what they want.
That's an odd contradiction, because a deluded sense of checks and balances also would deny a very charismatic leader who, as you say, would be able to put a face to the United States and not be so manipulated. It's a bit of a tough trade-off.
Yeah, it is, although there's a sense that if the ruler is not popular among the people, that they might look towards a big country like the United States to kind of prop them up.
Ben Arnoldi, a South Asia bureau chief of the Christian Science Monitor. Tough going there in Islamabad. Civil unrest.